So Don, I am disheartened by this document that you sent me. It's called the Invasive Shothole Borer Host List. So these are trees that are hosts for the invasive shothole borer. I'm not going to say that each time. I'll call it ISHB. That's their initials for it. And
Yeah, and this was.
the first 15 trees that are listed, those are the ones where getting this shothole borer
Yeah,
may
let's
cause
back up.
treatment.
Let me give a little context here. This is a note from Gaina. Question was, I recently listened to a webinar about how UC Davis and others helped Disneyland with Fusarium dieback and shothole borer beetles killing their trees. I was wondering if this situation is more under control now. If not, has it spread to Northern California? And that's what we're talking about here. Now, I liked the first name that came with this particular pest, which showed up. Oh, it's been a decade now. It was the polyphagous shothole borer. We have a listener.
Polyphagous.
Slight digression here. We have a listener who has suggested that we explain horticultural and botanical terms, define them if it's appropriate, take a moment to define them, and if there's word roots in there that tell you something, present that information because it makes it easier for people to remember. Now, invasive shothole borer, well, yeah, that's pretty descriptive. Polyphagous, Poly, Phagous, literally means many eaten. Poly, many, phagous, eats. And the polyphagous shothole borer, I can see why I didn't catch on, but
It eats lots of stuff.
lots of different hosts is what that tells you. The host being the species of tree that this particular borer feeds on. And if you're an entomologist or a plant pathologist, this is really an actual fascinating organism, but it's also very, very concerning to people involved in urban forestry issues. It's a non-native beetle, came into California, oh, several years ago. They're in a group known as ambrosia beetles, and they actually farm the fungus. So they carry this Fusarium dieback into the cambium of the tree, and then the disease makes a food source, which the beetles then eat. So they are carrying the disease. The beetles themselves, borers, are usually part of the natural dieback dying process of a tree. When you got shothole borers on a tree, usually that tells me that it's on its way out. But if it's carrying this disease and attacking healthy trees, then it's carrying the disease from tree to tree. And this was a big deal when it showed up in Southern California. It is now well established in a number of counties in Southern California, and is killing not just urban trees, but many of the riparian native species here in the southern part of the state. It's also now been found well established in Santa Clara County, which includes the city of San Jose. So it is in Northern California. It is fully expected to spread into the Sacramento Valley over the next few years. And to answer Gaina's question, this is not under control. It has spread to Northern California. It's a big deal. I know this is very much of a bummer or a downer for a conversation for us, but this one will kill some really important species, is killing really important species. So whenever a new pest comes in, urban forestry folks, nursery people, landscape architects need to keep up on this. We need continuing education on this. Master gardeners need to be aware of it. This is going to kill two really important species, among others. We'll just talk about these two quickly. London plane tree, which is one of the most widely planted urban trees, and valley oak, Quercus lobata, our most important keystone species in the Sacramento Valley. So back to that list that I presented to you.
So there are 15 trees listed on the, if it gets into them, they're going to die. And that list, 10 of those 15 are native trees. That's really scary, Don. I mean, we have the trident maple, big leaf maple, box elder, Palo Verde, California sycamore. Oh my goodness. London plane tree,
Cottonwood.
Fremont cottonwood, black poplar, black cottonwood, valley oak, English oak, oh my goodness, castor bean, willow, black willow, red willow, arroyo willow. Just
Yeah, so
astonishing.
yeah, this is going to be a real concern. As I've mentioned a couple of times, I'm on a much larger committee where we're evaluating tree species and cultivars for use in urban forestry. That is to say, the city street trees, the parks, the arboretum is part of this. We've got people from all different backgrounds, and we had a long discussion about this. We are probably going to pull Valley Oak from our recommended tree list. I've already pulled it from my recommended tree list at the Redwood Barn Nursery. I maintain my own list of trees of what we present to the public. It'll be a different list the city and the Arboretum will be using. But unfortunately, if it's being killed by this, and they are, tens of thousands of trees in Southern California are being killed by this complex of an insect and a disease that it carries. A comment at a recent seminar that one of our committee members went to was, if you're an urban forestry department, you need to pull these trees from your list. You need to stop planting these. Now, I can imagine what people are going to say if we say, you need to stop planting the Valley Oak. It's our iconic tree in the valley. It is the one of the most important ecological species for us. You have hundreds of species of organisms live on in or around the Valley Oak. That doesn't mean, I need to explain this carefully, that doesn't mean you can't plant it. You certainly can. It doesn't mean that every Valley Oak is going to be attacked and killed by this tree. We watch what happens as borers come into an area. Yes, they typically attack weakened trees first. That's our first question. Is it a borer that attacks a healthy tree? Some do, but most, like the emerald ash borer, attacks any ash in its vicinity. Or does it mostly attack weaker trees? We thought that was the pattern with this one. No, it seems to attack healthy trees as well if there's enough of a population pressure in the area. So for a city to plant Valley Oak all down a street as a street tree could be disastrous. 20 to 30 years from now, they could all be gone. I have personally watched in my career as a pest came into the area and killed out all of one species. California white alder in the 1980s, all down Arthur Drive off of Russell Boulevard here in Davis. And they're all gone. Over a 10-year period, a new borer came in and killed them. They were taken out and replaced with London plane trees. So, this is the mistake that has been made in urban forestry over and over again. You come up with a list of trees that are bulletproof, foolproof. These always work. And then something can come along and hit them, like elms, like chestnuts, like ash trees back east and up in Oregon now with that the particular pest that they get. And everything in that species or that genus or that family, that's the key question right there.
So if I have a Valley Oak in my yard, which I do, I have to take it out?
No, you just need to monitor it and be aware of it. And we really hope that the tree professionals, this is where we're working on figuring out the best way to do continuing education on this, because this is the kind of thing that arborists, certified and consulting arborists, need to be aware of. Landscape architects need to be aware of it because they're the ones specifying the trees. Nursery people need to stop selling, some trees. They can sell Valley Oak, but people need to understand, don't fill your whole neighborhood with it. That's really important. And this gets us to a really important rule of urban forestry that every city is aware of, every urban forester is aware of, but nobody can really implement fully. The 10-20-30 rule.
What's that 10-20?
No more than 10% of one species or cultivar in your urban forest. No more than 20% of one genus in your urban forest. No more than 30% of one family in your urban forest. What that reflects is that many pests are host specific. The Dutch elm disease only killed elms, thank goodness. It didn't happen to kill even other members of the elm family. But if you had a whole lot of elms, different species in the genus, and you had more than 20%, that no more than 20% of one genus, when that came through, it wiped out all of them. All of the elms were killed. So in your planning and planting and plant selection and plant lists, you've got to be real careful about not planting too much of one thing. That's been the biggest mistake in urban forestry. Those beautiful elm-lined streets, people love that look. It's the same tree all the way down, up and arching over the asphalt and making a lovely shaded canopy. But if they're all American elms and they all got Dutch elm disease, you lose the entire canopy. You lost the entire canopy of white alders on Arthur Drive here in Davis. If they had 10% white alder, 10% Valley Oak, 10% Chinese pistache, totally unrelated, 10% ginkgo, and so forth going down that street, then you only lose a part of your canopy. And we do have companies that evaluate the urban forest for Davis and other cities, and they can tell us that right now we're at about 10% with the London plane tree, 7 or 8% with the Valley Oak. So you're getting up there with that. And if you do get a new pest problem, the way to avoid losing a significant percentage of your canopy is for everybody to make decisions more carefully to improve the diversity of what's going in. So the city shouldn't be planting Valley Oak everywhere. The parks shouldn't be filled with new ones. One is fine. The one in your backyard is fine. But the other thing is you should have it looked at by a tree service every few years anyway, and they should be evaluating it for flagging or a staining from this particular pest to be aware of it, because as soon as it shows up in an area, the information needs to get to the appropriate researchers and policymakers as to what we're going to do about it. This is not something where you can just go in and spray it. You know, it's not like a rose bush with aphids. You've got a big decision to make. If you have a tree that's getting, an important tree that's getting infested with an insect, are you going to treat that tree with an insecticide? Or are you going to say, all right, this is the beginning of the end?
So I have in front of me a list that you sent me, and it's got 15 trees that are probably going to die. And then it's got a list of 51 trees that are susceptible to this and might get branch dieback or other things happening to them.
Yeah.
Where in the world, if someone is trying to choose a new tree, where in the world would they find this information?
The IPM website at UC Davis, ucanr.edu, has a good page. It was actually updated on, 2023, on the invasive shot hole borer. And so if you go to ucanr.edu, we refer you there all the time, do a search for invasive shot hole borers, and you can read about the life cycle of this. You can see pictures of them, and these lists are on there. And they continue to update this. Whenever a new pest comes in like this, pretty much a whole formal or informal team of researchers and professionals gets together and starts compiling information. And these are the two questions we have. Are the trees killed by it, or are they just a host that has symptoms but will survive it? Two very important distinctions. Notice there are some native trees on the host but not killed list, like the coastal live oak, Quercus agrifolia. So you'd want to watch those, monitor them. They can actually become your early warning system. I mean, you start monitoring the live oaks for flagging and dieback, you know it's moving into a region. Probably very important for foresters and arborists to start taking out trees that are infected or infested, but at least be aware of them. And so I wouldn't say don't plant a coastal live oak, but I would say be aware that it could be a host for this tree in the future. Whereas the trees that are killed by it, you just need to be aware of that. I don't want someone planting a tree for posterity that might be on the will be killed by this list. I haven't sold an ash tree, as an example, for 20 years, and part for a lot of other reasons. But the emerald ash borer is going to be a problem nationwide. It already is in half of the United States. It's in Oregon. It's going to come into California. Everything in the genus Fraxinus is killed by it when it comes into an area. 7 or 8% of our forest canopy in Davis is ash species. So there's one that's going to come in and kill those out. So it starts to sound like a disaster unfolding. But one thing to remember, these things happen in tree time, not people time. It takes 7 to 10 years for a pest to move into an area. Best management practices can be developed that may or may not include pesticides. They may include just strategic pruning, strategic removal, and so forth. It's not like they're all going to die overnight. However, I am told by people who live where the emerald ash borer showed up that it did look like devastating blight over a 5 to 10 year period as the trees were all killed out. So be aware of that. And when you push, one thing I do need to say, and for native plant lovers, please don't take this wrong. When you push for more native species to go in, you could make this problem worse, because the list that I put in front of Lois, almost all of the trees that are actually native here in the Sacramento Valley, Valley Oak, all those willows, all the cottonwoods and so forth, they're hosts and they're killed by it. So we need to be cautious about saying you should plant more trees based on geographic origin. If that doesn't, the Venn diagram of geographic origin and resistant to this particular borer disease complex is a pretty small circle. And I think it's really important that we maintain species diversity in urban forestry. You in your backyard are welcome to do what you want. And you can plant Valley Oaks. And I think every neighborhood should have one. But I would suggest that you look at this list before you choose a tree for your new subdivision or your new commercial development. And city arborists are increasingly aware of this species list.
Don, I have a question for you that is, because I'm getting alarmed here.
Yeah,
what kind of xylosma is my xylosma? Is it progesta?
Yes.
Xylosma. Oh, no, it's on the list.
It is on the list. And, they, you know, to me, that's not the end of the world if xylosma is getting dieback. Which list is it on? The killed by list?
No, the branch dieback.
Yeah. So watch for it, monitor it, and that'll become, again, well, those will be our signal plants, is the ones that start to get the flagging, as we call it. When a branch dies on a tree, we call that flagging. There can be a lot of reasons for that. I don't want everyone to go out there and think, oh my God, I have invasive shot hole borer. There are various diseases. Your Japanese maple, a branch dies on that, pretty good chance that was Cercospora disease. They can also get a different boar. So don't leap to a particular disease as being, it's not here, it's not in the Sacramento Valley yet. So we don't need to panic about it. We need to be aware of it. And it informs plant selection. And it also could be that some of the real landmark trees in our area, there's 300 and 400 year old Valley Oaks in our area, may start to decline from this. And the city will have to make some decisions about managing them. And I really, really urge that people don't try to guide those decisions with emotions. We need to know whether this pest has made the tree dangerous. You know, you have a Valley Oak over Central Park in downtown Davis, as we do. If branches are going to come crashing out of it because of an infestation or an infection, they're going to have to make a decision on that tree. And it's going to be a public discussion. So we really need more of the researchers and the folks who know about this problem to get the information out there. When sudden oak death came into California 30 plus years ago, it caused major panic. Immediately, the researchers started compiling their information, and there was a website set up so a nurseryman like myself could go to that and see what the status was of this. Well, that's where we are with the polyphagous shothole borer, invasive shothole borer. Sorry for the downer, but it's something to be aware of. You've been listening to the Davis Garden Show with Don Shore
and Lois Richter here at KDRT LP 95.7 in Davis, California.